أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Verse number 228 أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن ثلاثة قروء ولا يحل لهن أن يكتمن ما خلق الله في أرحامهن إن كن يؤمن بالله واليوم الآخر. Divorced women shall wait by themselves for three periods of purity after menses, and it is not lawful for them to conceal what Allah has created in their wombs if they believe in Allah and the last day. I just read part of the verse because the verse is a bit long. I read it part by part, inshallah. Now here, after there was condition about the issue of talaq and divorce was mentioned, now what happens after a divorce takes place? Those who are divorced, well, mutallaqat, those who have been given talaq. Talaq literally means to free one's way or to release something from a bound. And technically it has become to be used for divorce in Sharia of Islam. So those women who are divorced, they shall wait by themselves for three periods. Of course, not all mutallaqat. Some of the mutallaqat, as is specified by other verses. It's very important to know that always there are general meanings or concepts mentioned in the Quran, and then it's sometimes specified and limited by other verses. Some restrictions come to it. Now here, for example, when we say those who are divorced have to wait three periods, of course there are some women who are divorced and they are pregnant. If they are pregnant, then the waiting period is not three period of purity or menses anymore, so, as it is mentioned in other verses in Surah Talaq, وَأُولَاتُ الْأَحْمَالِ أَجَلُهُنَّ أَيْ يَذَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. The waiting period for the women who are pregnant is to set there or deliver the baby. And that may be 15 days, maybe 6 months, depending on when the divorce has taken place. So this is not included in al-mutallaqat here. It's specified. Also, not the women who have been menopaused and they do not see menses anymore because they don't have any period. Or women who do not see menses at all while they are in the age that they should be seeing menses, as again we have in Surah Talaq, وَلَّا أَيَأَسْنَ مِنَ الْمَحِيضِ مِنْ نِسَائِكُمْ إِنْ رَتَبْتُمْ فَعِدَّتُهُنَّ ثَلَاثَةُ أَشْهُرٍ وَلَّا لَمْ يَحِضْنَ. So those women who has doubts whether they have stopped seeing menses or not, they have to wait for 3 months after talaq. And those who do not see, there are always exceptions in nature, isn't it? Some women do not see menses at all, but they are in the age that usually other women see menses. They have to wait for 3 months, not three quru, not thalathatu quru'en. So this is again one of the exceptions from this. As I said, when we look at the verses of the Quran, we have to look at the Quran as a whole with all the verses compared with each other to see whether a verse is specified by another verse or not. As Imam Ali alayhi salam said, Al-Quran yufassiru ba'duhu ba'da. Quran, some parts of it explain other parts, and some parts specify other parts. We have to look at the totality of the Quran rather than one specific verse. So, والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن. This is a declarative sentence, of course, but The context tells us that it is an imperative. They have to do this. And usually when declarative sentences are used for imperative reports, they are more emphatic. They give stronger sort of emphasis. Like, for example, even when we want to pray for someone, we say, Rahimakallah. Rahimakallah means Allah had mercy on you. What we mean, may Allah have mercy on you. It's sort of, it's not declarative anymore. Anyhow, yatarabbasna bi'anfusihinna thalathata quru'in. They have to keep themselves for three qura'ah. Qura', this plural of qura'ah. So here it means that it's imperative upon them to keep themselves from marrying. يَتَرَبَّسْنَ بِأَنفُسِهِنَّ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. Keep themselves from marrying, so they should not marry for three qur. Now, the qur, here it says ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ. Now, qur is plural of qur. Qur means accumulation of something and then the release of it. This is the meaning of qur. And some say that qira'a also comes from this, because we somehow bring together the letters and then release them as sentences. This is the meaning of qira'a. And qur here means the gradual accumulation of the blood in the womb and then the release of it as hayd, or in the time of menstruation. Therefore, it can be used for both periods. The period when women see blood, the period when they do not see blood. And that has caused a difference of opinion among jurists. What qur mean? Does it mean tuhr, the purity, the period of the purity, or it means hayd, the period of seeing the blood? So, yatarabbasna bi'anfusihinna thalathata quru'in, they have to keep themselves from marrying for three qur. Does it mean three tohr, three purity period, or three menses period, three hayz? Now, some jurists have inclined towards the first, and others inclined towards the second. The Shia jurists usually have are of the opinion that qur is the period of purity. So they have to wait for three purity periods, not three hayz or three menses. Now, what would be the difference? The difference is that, just looking for the opinions of different madhahib, yes, the Shia, the Malikis, and the Shafi'is, they say it's tuhr. So in, the Sunni scholars are also divided. The Malikis and Shafi'is are agreeing with the Shia. And the Hanafis and Hanbalis, they say it is hayz. So they disagree with Shia here. And they disagree among themselves as well. The difference is that, first of all, talaq should take place in the period of purity. And in the period of purity in which there has been no relation between wife and husband, and this is one of the most important conditions. Why? Because usually when wife and husband somehow become angry with each other, they decide to divorce. But now, they have to wait until one period comes, and then the purity comes, and in that purity they should have no relation, then talaq could take place. And this means that they have to wait for a while, the anger would subside, and they can decide more rationally whether they really want to have divorce or not. This is all madhahib say this. So it is not allowed for the divorce to take place during the menses and during a purity period where there has been relation between wife and husband. So there is this sort of leeway or this period of cooling down of anger of wife and husband, so that they can decide without being angry or without high temper. And then in that, of course, as I said, this is unanimous among all Shia and Sunni madhahib. When this happens, okay, the difference between if we take qur to be haze or qur to be purity is this. Now, if the wife is divorced during that purity is the first qur. Now, it may be quite towards the end of one's purity period, it's the first qur. This is the first purity. Then after that, the second purity, one men's, one purity, then third purity. When the third purity comes, as soon as it comes, the edda, the waiting period, is finished. Those who say qur'u is haze, it means that they have to wait until the end of the menses, and then the waiting period is finished. Not very important and not great difference, but there are some, of course, legal implications, whether we take qur'u to be purity or to be the period when the menses are seen. Anyhow, والمطلقات يتربصن بأنفسهن ثلاثة قروء, and they have to wait or keep themselves. يتربصن بأنفسهن. This ba means they have to keep them, preserve themselves from marrying for three قروء. ولا يحل لهن أن يكتمن ما خلق الله في أرحامهن. It is not allowed for them to conceal what Allah has created in their wombs if they believe in Allah and the last day. Why this sort of very strong emphasis, if they believe in Allah and the last day, is not permissible for them to conceal? Because in matters of purity, menses, edda, pregnancy, whatever women say is accepted. They don't need to prove it. They don't need to somehow bring evidence for it. Whatever they say is accepted. If they say that I am in my menses, for example, the husband wants to make a divorce, she says, I'm in my menses, is accepted. Okay. If they say I'm pure, is accepted. If they say I'm pregnant, it's accepted. They don't need to do any sort of test or anything like that. And this is the hadith that we have even from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. فَرَضَ اللَّهُ إِلَى النِّسَاءِ ثَلَاثَةَ أَشْيَاءً Allah has delegated three things to women. You do not question them further when they say something about it. One is at-tuhra, purity, al-hayz, menses, and al-hamd, and pregnancy. It's accepted. So, if a woman wants to delay a divorce or bring forward the waiting period, she can say that, for example, I'm pure now, or my menses are finished. Or she can say, I'm pregnant, to somehow, I'm not pregnant, to somehow bring forward the at the time. Allah says, in these cases, women are not allowed to conceal whatever Allah creates in their wombs, whether children or the blood, because the blood gradually, as they say, gradually accumulated in the womb and then it is released. So this is what Allah is creating in their wombs. وَلَا يَحِلُّ لَهُنَّ أَن يَكْتُمْنَا مَا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ فِي أَرْحَامِهِنَّ إِن كُنَّ يُؤْمِنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. Now there is a, of course, if they believe in Allah and the last day, there's a difference in talaq in Sunni and Shi'i fiqh, which is a very important difference. And that is, Ahlul Sunnah, all of them, all the madhahib, say that we have two types of talaq, talaq al-Sunnah and talaq al-Bid'ah. And both are correct. Amazingly, both of them are correct. Talaq al-Sunnah is correct. Talaq al-Bid'ah is correct as well. How? Talaq al-Sunnah is what is mentioned here. It should be in the time of purity and in which there has been no relation. It should not be in the time of menses. That is talaq al-sunnah. Talaq al-bid'ah is when, for example, it is done in other times, or for example, in a purity in which they had relations, or in time of menses. Now, they say this talaq al-sunnah is, of course, acceptable. Talaq al-bid'ah, which does not observe these conditions, is sahih, is correct, although the talaq has been done in a sinful manner. In a sinful manner. So it's hukm taklifi for them, not hukm wazi. There's a difference between a ruling which is only an obligation and a ruling which has legal implications. The ruling which has legal implication, we call it wazi. It has a status, it brings some status in. The ruling which doesn't have any legal implications is just an obligation. It's just, if you do not observe, it's just a sin. However, it brings all the implications of the ruling. It's called taklifi. So they say that, I will, inshallah, come back to this again in a very, very important matter in this verse. They say that the conditions in talaq, that is, it should be in purity in which there has been no relation, is hukm taklifi, is just an obligation. If you do not observe it, you have committed a sin. However, the implications follow. So the talaq is sahih. This is the difference between Shia and Sunni in this regard. وَبُؤُولَتُهُنَّ أَحَقُّ بِرَدِّهِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ فِي ذَلِكَ means in the waiting period. In that waiting period, their husbands has priority of right to return to them. And their husbands have a greater right to restore them during this period. Again, this is a sort of cooling period for anger between wife and husband, the waiting period. It is for that, and also for the preservation of nasab and the child, which may come about, belongs to which husband, and the previous husband, or the husband that they marry later on. So these are the philosophy behind keeping the waiting period. But one of the most important benefits is that husband and wife may somehow change their mind. So the husband may go back, the wife may be happy to go back. However, there's one very important thing here. The husband has greater rights in this period. So if the husband wants to go back, no one else can marry that woman in this period. If the period passes, then the woman can marry anyone whom she likes. But in this period, husband has a greater right. Now, despite the will of woman or with the agreement of woman, which one? For example, there's this waiting period. The woman doesn't want to go back to husband. But the husband says, yes, I have the intention to somehow revoke the divorce and go back to marriage. So which one, with the agreement or without? Now, in khulu, we have two types of divorce, which will be mentioned in the following verse. In khulu, where actually the wife initiates divorce, the husband doesn't have the right to go back. But here, it's called the raj'i talaq. That's a talaq which could be revoked by husband. Because divorce is the right of husband and is initiated by the husband, then, of course, the husband can go back without consent of the wife. This is the difference between khulu and raj'i talaq. However, there's one very important caveat here, and that is, إن أرادوا إصلاح وبؤولتهن أحق بردهن في ذلك. In that period, the husbands have greater right to go back. إن أرادوا إصلاح, if they want to bring reform and conciliation. They have greater rights to restore them during this if they desire reconciliation, whatever Islah may mean. It means to bring peace, tranquility, to bring family together if they have this intention. Now, we know that there are many cases where husbands have the intention just to annoy and harm the wife. For them, they give divorce, but just before the iddah expires, they go back to the wife. And not because they want to reconcilement or because they want the family to go together, just because they want to harm the wife, to somehow prolong the duration of agony in the divorce, and then they may divorce again. Now, here, the caveat is in aradu islah. If they want to reconcile, if they don't want to reconcile, do they not have right to do? Now, the common fatwa of maraji here is that, again, this in aradu islah is hukm al-taklifi, not hukm al-wazi. It means if they don't want to reconcile and they do it, they have committed a sin. But the return is held and is acceptable, the raj'ah. And this fatwa is because of many narrations that we have. However, we can actually say that why we should take this as a hukm al-taklifi, why not wazi? If the judge, if the hakim realizes that the only reason that husband wants to go back is to harm the wife, they can say it's not permissible, it's not allowed. And the return is not valid. The return is not valid. However, now, of course, the fatwa is like this. We can argue that those narrations, if they go against the verse of the Quran, we should discard them, because Quran is very clear in this caveat, in this condition, that if they want to reconcile, they can return. If they don't want, if they just want to harm and annoy and bring agony to wives, it should not be permissible. Anyhow, the fatwa is that for both Sunni and Shia, it is hukm taklifi. It is a sin for the husband to do it, but it's valid. One argument in favor of this fatwa, that is a sin but is valid, is that it's very difficult to realize the intention of the husband for that. Okay? So, the Quran says that they should not do it, and if they do it, it's a sin, and Allah will punish them, of course, for it. But because in our social relations, we cannot realize what is the true intention of the husband, we cannot actually base the law on that, and therefore it is valid. وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ Now, the question here is, okay, if this is the case, the wives are really oppressed here. The husband has the right to divorce. The husband has the right to return or revoke the divorce. So what about the women? Now, here Allah says that for them there are rights like the responsibilities or equivalent to the responsibilities. The wife have rights similar to the obligations upon them. It means that, however, it should be bil ma'aruf, in accordance with honorable norms. This is very important, very important. And sometimes we ignore these caveats, we ignore these ethical conditions set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and stick to the very letter of the law, which may not be just in many occasions. There are a few verses about talaq here, And in these few verses, Allah 12 times repeats, bil ma'roof, in honorable terms. Now, should we consider this and bring it into the law? Or we just to say this is at the will of wife and husband to treat each other honorably or not? Again, this is something that we may have to reconsider, or the maraji have to reconsider in their fatwa, that sometimes the laws which goes according to that fatwa do not really show these honorable terms, ma'roof, which are 12 times mentioned here. And in one of the verses which follows that I will discuss later on, it says, وَلَا تَتَّخِذُوا آيَاتِ اللَّهِ هُزُوًا. Do not ridicule these verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by taking it as a sort of right to oppress one party, to oppress the other party. In Surah Talaq, when Talaq is mentioned, all the time it says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ, fear God, fear God, fear God, meaning that these relations should be based on just and honorable terms, not just you say, okay, this is my right, this is your duty, we have to do it. Now, the rights and duties of women are equal, the rights and duties are equal in honorable terms, bil ma'roof. Okay, I have given the right of divorce to husband, and I have given the right of return to husband, but I have given many rights to wives and responsibilities to husbands, which then they actually somehow square each other out. And the thing which should be considered is that always these things should happen in honorable terms. Now, what is honorable terms? What is ma'roof? وَلَهُنَّ مَثْلُ الَّذِينَ عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. And as we will see later on, 12 times in just a few verses, Allah says it should be done in honorable terms, it should be done بالمعروف. Now, Muhammad Abdu in Tafsir al-Minar, he says that ma'roof differs in different times. It should be somehow determined according to the customs of every time. So, Urf and Ma'ruf are very similar, isn't it? These responsibilities and rights of divorce, marriage, wives and husband may differ in different situations according to Urf and Ma'ruf. So, because the Sharia here has somehow given the terms according to ma'ruf and urf, things should differ in different times. And therefore, for example, we cannot see the rights of women and husbands and wives in this day and age in the same way that we were seeing it in another day and age. We have to somehow reconsider the rights and duties and the laws. However, some exegetes say that this is وَلَهُنَّ مَثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ has nothing to do with rights and duties of wife and husband. It means that in this very case of talaq and raj'a, divorce and return, wives have certain sort of rights which is accepted only from them, like they say what time they are pure, what time they are in menses, whether they are pregnant or not. And husbands have certain rights, and that is the right of return. However, this is a bit lukewarm. Now, what is ma'roof? That's the most important thing. Muhammad Abdu in Al-Minar said ma'roof is whatever the urf or the customs of different times and ages would require. Allama Tabatabai rahmatullah alayhi says ma'roof has four aspects that we have to bear in mind all the time. And he explains it in details, of course. One is hidayatul aql, what goes with rational understanding, the intellect. What does the intellect say, for example? Is a man allowed, say, for example, to harm a wife? For example, they don't live together, they don't have family, they are separated, but said, I do not divorce you until you become your hair become white as your teeth, for example. Is this ma'ruf or it's not ma'ruf? So hidayatul aql is very important. Secondly, hukm al-shar. Of course, whatever Sharia says should be considered. However, Sharia says what? Sharia says bil ma'ruf, with in honorable terms, and of course, whatever is said should be followed based on hidayatul aql. And then the third aspect of ma'ruf is fadilatul khulq al-hasan, that it should be with good conduct and good behavior all the time, wa sunanul adab, and good manners. These four things, when we put them together, hidayatul aql, hukm al-shar'a, al-khulq al-hasan, and sunanul adab, as in another verse about talaq, Allah says, وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Do not forget this sort of honorable treatment among each other. These should be considered when bil ma'ruf is explained. وَلِلْرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ. Now, this is a difficult one, isn't it? Now, it says that وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. They have the same rights and as the same responsibilities, بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. However, وَلِلْرِّجَالِ عَلَيْهِنَّ دَرَجَةٌ. And men have one degree above them. We shall discuss this next week. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى
الطَّاهِرِينَ.
Let us have this daraja until next week, and then we'll discuss it next week, inshallah.
Thank you, Maharaj. Shukran. Brothers and sisters, we have about 15, 20 minutes to continue the discussion. Any questions or queries or clarification? I seek to then, Sheikh will try to clarify that. Brothers and sisters, anybody?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. It's very interesting to think about this idea of divorce bil ma'ruf in today's society, where a husband and wife are entitled to, you know, 50-50 of the assets. How does that work for very devout, God-fearing people today? Is there a recommendation from the scholars that actually we should follow English law?
Actually, they are considering such a law in Iran as well, and it has been discussed in the parliament. I'm not aware to which stage these discussions have developed, but I know that this idea of ma'ruf is coming in, isn't it? And eventually, even if the Guardian Council, which is the guardian of the traditional fatwa of Sharia, even if it rejects it, it may go to the Maslaha Council, Expediency Council, and they may approve it. Why? Because the ma'ruf comes in, isn't it? So the very nature of these discussions show that ma'ruf is taking precedence over the letter of some fatwa, in a sense. But at the end of the day, it's not the decision of individuals. Either it should come as a fatwa, or it should come as a legislation by an Islamic body.
Thank you. Any sisters? Before we go back to the brother, we'll wait for the sister and then come to you. Any sisters? No, brother, yeah, please.
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
There is a difference between adda after talaq and after the death of the husband.
Yes.
It's three periods.
Yeah, it's not treated here. It's mentioned in another verse.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so, biologically it's the same reason. So why it is different after the death from talaq?
Mm-hmm. Well, not the slight difference between them. Because the Edda, they say one reason for Edda is, of course, ikhtilat al-ansab, that the nasab of the child should not be confused. The other is the respect for the husband or respect for the marriage, isn't it? Just as soon as you get divorced, you marry. is not very respectful for women, especially for ladies, especially. And there may be other reasons, but in death, in Iddatul Maut, of course, when a husband dies, it's deserved for the wife to wait a longer period for Iddatul Wafat. Even it's not only it's for all women then, not only for women whose marriage is consummated or things like that. So in that case, it's the respect for the deceased which takes it a bit longer.
Thank you. Any sisters? Any brother? Yeah. Can you pass the mic to the friend there, please?
Sheikh, if it's a question of respect, as you say, then should it not apply to the man as well?
To
the waiting period. The waiting period is only for the women. Now, if it's not a question of the nasab, it's a question of respect, surely the women also...
I said one
respect.
Of the reasons.
Well, I mean, if it's any part of the reason, then surely it should apply the other way. Or maybe if it doesn't, then it's not the reason.
Especially for ladies, it is seen not fit. Especially for ladies, it's seen. Because even when the wives are in the wedlock with husbands, the husband can marry another wife, isn't it? Theoretically speaking, okay? So it's more... is something more seen as the modesty of a lady rather than for men.
Any sisters? Sheikh, talking about the talaq, you mentioned that sometimes a husband may pronounce talaq in anger, but in Shiaism, isn't it different, for example, there has to be witnesses rather than in other school of thought?
No, I didn't say pronounce it in anger. I said they may be angry,
yeah.
And then they... proceed with the divorce. Of course, it should be with the presence of two witnesses. But in the anger may go on for 3-4 days, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or for a week or something. And they may proceed with the divorce. But, of course, they have to do it correctly with the witnesses and everything.
Yeah, but in other school of thought, they don't have that condition.
Yeah, there's no such a condition.
Fine.
Yes.
Any brothers or sisters, anybody?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam.
The 3 months waiting time, is there a reason for it to be 3 months, more or less? You've mentioned that will give the wife and the husband time to, if you like, reconcile, consider, and maybe soften up. And secondly, I don't know, but I'm thinking of possibly one of the reasons for this is also to protect the society, just in case if there was a child to be born. And in order for this child to be protected, to be part of that society, it gives time to the wife and the husband to feel the responsibility of the marriage, so that the whole society is protected, the wife, the mother, as opposed to having kids with no father and mother.
Well, for pregnant women, of course, the idda is different. As I said, أَجَلَهُنَّ أَنْ يَضَعْنَ حَمْلَهُنَّ. The time they deliver the baby, the period is finished. Now, in having this into consideration, it gives preponderance and more weight to the idea that the nasab should not be confused. Because, for example, a lady may be pregnant, and 15 days after the divorce, she delivers. The edda finishes. She can marry. And therefore, we can say that it is because, of course, there is no confusion in nasab anymore. The idda for pregnant women would tell us that it is more for the protection of nasab rather than anything else. With regards to why is 3 months or 3 menses, well, there may be some scientific explanation for that. I don't know. I haven't studied that.
Okay. Any sisters? Your brother? You want? Yeah, this one.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you so much. The period of iddat, if suppose husband dies while the mother is pregnant, Does the iddat for the husband continues for how long? Until the child is being born?
Yeah, or? four months and 10 days. Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But if she's 3 months pregnant, then after 3 months, how long is the iddat period for the husband, if the husband dies, for the woman? Compulsory.
4 months and 10 days.
10 days. So after 4 months and 10 months, she can come out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. When she's pregnant.
Thank you. Yep. Can you pass the mic here?
Assalamu alaikum. Something you said, that after the divorce is, you know, I said the divorce or whatever, and you said that during this period, the husband can come back. He has more right over the woman. But so is it just for this period? So I didn't actually understand that part.
Yes, it's so after that, it's the woman should decide whether she wants to go back to that husband or she wants to marry someone else after this period, okay?
So during that period, so it says, it's just that the priority is for the husband.
It means that during that period,
yeah,
she cannot marry.
No. So what I was
trying to, because if the husband decides to go back, she can do that, okay. Right? So during that period, she cannot marry. After that, if the husband wants to go back, then they need a new marriage contract, a new mahr, a new marriage contract, everything. During that period, there's no need for new marriage or anything. Just they can go back to each other.
So after that period is over, for example.
Yes.
Then does the woman have a right or not? No?
The woman has a right for what? Sorry. Yeah, the woman can decide to whom she wants to marry after that period, yeah. Okay. Is that answering your question? Or?
I was just getting a bit confused about the rights in terms of... so he can actually forcibly say, right, I want to stay with you.
After that period?
No, during that period.
Not forcible, I want to stay. He can just revoke the divorce,
yeah.
That's all.
Okay. Yeah.
He can just revoke the divorce.
So that's a subtle point I was getting at, is that during that period, he has a right in terms of... So there's
revoking
no...
Revoking the divorce, yeah.
Yeah, so there's no implication contained within that the divorce can only be pursued by a man. This is what I was trying to get to. Is that only during that period?
Yes, during that period only. After that, certainly not. And that is only for a talaq, which is revocable. Khulu is not revocable. So during that period, the woman should wait that period, but there is no right for the husband to revoke the divorce anymore.
So if the divorce were to take place outside this period, then there is no right for him to come back, yeah?
If the divorce takes place outside that period, sorry, what?
Yeah, so if a man says, you know, I divorce you, not within this period. Okay. Right.
There's...
Yeah.
The divorce already has happened.
No, because of the menses and things like that, I was saying. So if she was during the clean period, then what happens is the question. So if it's during the clean period, what happens then?
Any brothers or sisters? Yeah, please.
Can I just ask, what sort of laws apply during the time of iddat for a woman, especially after the husband has died? Suppose there's no one to earn the money. Is she allowed to go to work and earn the money if there's a hardship?
Yeah, if she has no one to support her, yes, of course, she's allowed to go, yeah.
Okay.
Any brothers, sisters? Yeah, Murtaza, can you pass the mic to the doctor, Beck?
Does this apply to women who are menopausal?
No, women who are menopausal, they have no iddah, no waiting period, as I mentioned before. Yeah.
And sometimes women...
Or women who has
don't have periods.
Whose marriage is not consummated yet, they have no period, waiting period as well.
And also this applies to women who don't have periods for any medical reasons.
They have to wait 3 months. Because three quarter maybe may take 2 months, all right? Depends on what sort of intervals women see menses, okay? So three menses may happen in 2 months or 2.5 months or 2 months and 5 days, something like that. But for those who, for medical reasons, do not see menses, but they are in the age where other women see menses, they have to wait 3 months, three full months.
Thank you. Any brothers, sisters? Sheikh, I just want to continue with Brother Murtaza's point. Something came to my mind. Now, let's say the husband gives a divorce, and then there is a waiting period. Now, within that waiting period, the husband can revoke that talaq.
Yeah.
He has a right. Now, what about if he practices that right, but the woman says, no, I don't accept that, because I still consider that you've given me talaq. I'll wait for the 3 months, and then it will be an automatic sort.
No, it's a right of husband.
But if the woman doesn't accept that...
The wife cannot actually invalidate his rights. As the divorce is his right, according to Sharia, the return is his right as well. As I said, except if it is khulu. In khulu divorce, there's no rights.
Khulu I can understand, but let's say the wife is stubborn, saying that no, I may be committing a sin, but even after the period is over, then does the period expire automatically?
Yes.
Or the period then expires?
No. What do you mean expires?
No, for example, there's this particular period of about 3 months something.
Okay.
Now, within that 3 months, the husband says, I am revoking that talaq.
Yes.
Now, we said that he has an automatic right, and then women cannot object to that. But let's say the woman object, says that, no, I don't want to accept your revocation, but I want to continue.
No, she cannot do that.
No, supposing she does that, and she may be sinful, but then the period expires.
The next marriage is not valid.
Oh, I see, okay, okay. Okay, now I just wanted that clarification. Yeah. Okay. Any other brothers,
sisters? The husband, as the Quran says, in aradu islah, if they want reconciliation. So if the wife really doesn't want, it means that there is no reconciliation, isn't it? So this in aradu islaha, as most of the fatawa, both Shia and Sunni say that it is a taklif, it's just an obligation, and if man doesn't regard that, he's just sinful, but the revoke is valid. Now, if we take it to be wazi, that means having legal implications, it means that when wife says, I don't really want to live with you, so this revoking the divorce, means that he doesn't want reconciliation. He just wants to somehow force himself upon the woman. So here we have to see. I mean, it goes against the Quran anyhow. But the husband has committed a sin. Now, what the fatwa says is that the husband has committed a sin, but the revoking is valid.
Yeah, but so then comes the question of intention, and nobody can read the intention of the mind.
So that's why they say that it's valid, but if the intention is not reconciliation, the husband is sinful.
Yeah, but if the wife says that, I don't think that the husband is genuine to come back and reconcile, then...
It's not accepted from her, simply.
Maybe she may be able to prove that her husband is not
anyhow, even if
rightful.
She can prove that, the husband is sinful.
Okay.
Isn't it?
Okay, sir. Fine. Okay. Any brothers, sisters, anybody? It's off. Can you switch on?
There's no edda for women who are menopaused. There's no edda. And therefore, there is no revocation of divorce.
Okay. Thank you, Muhammad Wa Ali Muhammad Salwa. Do you continue next week, inshallah?